In-depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for Thursday, August 29th, 2013 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. It's industry chatter every Thursday in the 3 o'clock hour. My guest today is Peter Bauman. He's the CEO and co-founder of Active Navigation. Peter, it's great to have you in the studio. Thank you very much for being here today.
Likewise. Thank you very much, Francis.
Tell me about Active Navigation, the elevator speech about your company and what you do for your customers in the federal government.
Very quick elevator speech to kick us off. So Active Navigation provides what we really call pragmatic solutions to enable large organizations, federal agencies, to audit, to clean, and to structure their unstructured information. And when we refer to unstructured information, we're talking about all the stuff in the organization, digital stuff that sits or resides outside of databases in any kind of structured form.
The collation of all of that information is one of the biggest challenges. Agencies seem to be getting a better handle on what they have, but being able to use it in some kind of a cohesive fashion sounds like what you're in line to be able to help them do. Is that fair to say?
I think it's a bit of both, actually. I might take some issue with you in them getting a handle of what they have. I think that's actually a large part of the problem here. Most agencies, most commercial organizations for that matter, don't really know what they do have. They think they know what they have, but they'd be quite surprised if they did a full audit on their information estate. And so the first instance here is really to get a grip on what you have. And then you can make decisions as you go through the process on how you want to manage that information, discover it, release it, tag it, and put it into the kind of productivity workflow.
Is there a thread to what companies and agencies don't know about the information that they have? Are there common themes as you go and start from scratch with somebody and try to help them get a handle on what they've got?
Yes, I think so. At the highest level, most of our customers, regardless of the sector and the geography, we're a global business. We have an Australian, UK, European operation. They all have the same problem. And I think the first 30, 40% of work on any engagement that we're involved in is often very common across verticals, customer types, and regions. It's only when you get deeper into the kind of micro level of that content that you start to see specifics and quirks related to that actual customer.
What are the things that are the common threads across the spectrum of the companies that you work with?
Oh, they're the easy ones. So the easy wins are looking for duplicates, so duplicate data, near duplicate data, certain types of files that shouldn't be on the open network, clear violation of organizations' policies. If the workforce has been told not to save these type of documents on the open network, why are they on the open network? And so generically speaking, we can find that stuff very, very easily.
Mm-hmm. Those kinds of things, common, uncommon, a lot of violations, a little, or does it really vary by organization? Are some orgs better at the data hygiene piece of this than others?
Clearly, there's differences between organizations. Often that's driven by the type of regulatory regime that they maybe sit under. But I think it's probably also fair to say most of them have similar issues. Mm-hmm. And the tolerance between the two is pretty slim, maybe only 10, 20% between the best organized and the worst organized.
Is there a disparity between what organizations think they have a handle on and what they actually have a handle on? Are they better at it or worse at it than they think they are?
Yes, I mean, it's a great question. You know, sometimes we walk into organizations where we only need to say one sentence and they'll say to us, oh gosh, we're guilty. proven guilty. Yeah. And they're all, you know, everyone be nodding around the room, uh-huh, saying, oh gosh, that's what my, you know, information estate looks like. Other organizations, you'll find some resistance. And for our listeners out there, apologies to the IT community, but often the IT community who are kind of tasked with looking after this information, even if it's not their information, believe they do a pretty good job of it. And they probably do. But they probably don't spend much time worrying about what the content actually is. Mm-hmm. And so you definitely have a gap or a chasm between the two two parts of the business.
That concept occurs to me because I spoke to a guest yesterday about in the human resources realm, talking about the idea that everybody thinks they're above average. And it just got me to thinking that that's not just a performance metric. That's probably the case in just about every walk of life. And it sounds like that same concept applies here.
Potentially. I think one of the differences in this area is most people we certainly at Active Navigation engage with have to use this information, and they'll all have gone through the frustrations of not finding it. And Francis, just think of your own iPad or your own laptop, how difficult it is after 10 years to find the document that you know you've created. Mm-hmm. And you might find the 17 versions of truth. And so even those organizations and those individuals that believe they've got a handle on this, they still recognize it's a big problem.
Mm-hmm. How connected to the avalanche of big data that agencies are dealing with is the kind of work that you do?
I knew that question was going to come, the big data question.
Yeah. Because it's turning into a buzzword,
yeah.
And it's one of those things that we hear so much about now,
yeah,
that some people are already starting to become a little desensitized to it, it seems.
Yeah, we take a very measured view of the term big data. I think it's a terrific term to describe the measurable growth of geotagged data, social media data, fast-moving consumer good data. It's perfect. And in that environment, you're looking to try and build sentiment to make judgments, decisions based on a morass of data. And you're happy to also look at the what's called the dark data within the clean, the good data, because sometimes that can give you some subjectivity or context. And that's great. And clearly that stretches into maybe the intelligence services, financial market trading, fairly common stuff, and big government in the sense of looking at population movement, and plenty of examples we can maybe talk about later there. Mm-hmm. But when you put it into the context of the organization, whether that be a federal agency, or whether that be civilian military, or whether that be a commercial organization, it's very different. And it's something we feel quite passionate about. Most of the data that's created in those organizations, you have trained individuals, they earn a salary, they may have been there for a number of years before they can even create these documents. And so there's a value around all these documents. They're not the same as a tweet, and they've been produced for a specific reason, and therefore they're an information asset that carries value. And so it would be, in our view, a mistake for large organizations to consider their internal content, data, information in the same way as maybe the fast-flowing external consumer-based content.
I love the term information asset, and it's not a term I've heard applied to the stuff that people think of. When you state it that way, it seems to me you're trying, and I think successfully, to call attention to the quality of a particular piece of information and not just the volume of stuff. And the focus, so what I take away from what you just said relative to big data is this mass of stuff, and you're looking at this qualitatively and not quantitatively. Am I with you?
You're spot on. And okay. Our friends actually at the kind of analytical and commentator community that follow business information and business governance information, they've recently relabeled this. And so you'll be familiar maybe with the three V's that people typically use to describe big data. Make sure I remember them. Variety, volume, and velocity. A great way of describing it. But recently, the Gartner Group have actually added a fourth V, which is veracity. And the key thing about veracity is it's about the quality of the data. And so I couldn't agree more. If you're trying to derive value from a big data set, but 80-odd percent of the content you're feeding it, which is the normal percentage in a large organization, a federal agency, is unstructured, and you haven't made any effort at cleaning it and structuring it, then you're disproportionately weighting the potential outputs.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very simple. Clean the unstructured data before you can feed it into big data.
Well, that is exactly the concept that I wanted to talk about, and we'll do that when we come back from the break, the cleanliness of it and then putting it in some kind of a structure that makes sense and makes it usable. Peter Bauman is my guest. He's the CEO and co-founder of Active Navigation, and we'll continue our conversation on Industry Chatter in just a minute on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Up and running.
Monitoring a border is complex. At DRS, we've deployed technology on the Jordanian border.
DRS is proven.
With desert installations in Egypt, we thrive in the most forbidding terrain.
DRS is ready.
And in Arizona, DRS is ready with the most advanced technology. We're prepared to support the U.S. Customs and Border Protection IFT program. DRS Technologies, up, running, and ready to protect the U.S. border.
Learn more at DRS.com.
Each day, over 49 million Americans live in households that experience hunger, including 17 million children. Johnson's Florist and Garden Centers want to help. They're asking gardeners in the Washington area to plant extra this growing season, and at harvest time, bring that extra to one of their stores in D.C., Kensington, and Olney, Maryland. All donations will go to a local organization that feeds the hungry. Visit johnsonsflorist.com to learn more about the Plant a Row for the Hungry initiative. johnsonsflorist.com.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Please join Max Kakis, host of AFCEA Answers, on Friday, August 30th at 2.05 p.m., where he'll be joined by a panel of government and industry professionals to discuss big data in government. The panel will include Simone Zickman, Chief Information Officer with the Department of Commerce. Don't miss AFCEA Answers with Max Kakis on Friday, August 30th at 2.05 p.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m., and online at federalnewsradio.com. Sponsored by AFCEA International and brought to you by Cisco.
Mosquitoes thrive in wet environments, which might seem strange in one respect. How do their fragile bodies survive the impact of raindrops 50 times their weight? Mosquitoes have long wings and legs, so they just get momentarily spun in the air when a raindrop applies a glancing blow, says David Hu, a Georgia Tech engineer. He used high-speed videos to show even in a direct hit, because the insect's so light.
The mosquito and the drop, they sort of join together, and they fall together for about 5 to 20 body lengths before separating.
That's only a problem very close to the ground. So Hu says engineers making tiny robotic flyers could mimic a mosquito's lightweight design to reduce the force of any impacts. And
we think if designers build in these long appendages, it'll basically allow them to always separate from the colliding object without even trying.
To find out more about this and other engineering innovation stories, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
8 years after Hurricane Katrina, FEMA is training a volunteer corps to rush to disasters. I'm Emily Kopp. On Friday's Federal Drive, Deputy Director Rich Serino tells us what they're doing this week on the Gulf Coast. And should the United States take a cue from Canada or Germany when it comes to supporting manufacturing? Listen starting at 6 to Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And for the latest federal news, check out federalnewsradio.com.
Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Peter Bauman's my guest, the CEO and co-founder of Active Navigation, here for Industry Chatter today. We talked about the fourth V that's been added to the big data pot, and that's veracity. And that's an important component of what you were talking about earlier about information assets. They're not really an asset if you can't ascertain that the information that's contained therein is correct. And so when you take on a client and you go in and sit down with them, how do you go about determining what they've got that's correct and accurate, and what they've got that needs some hygiene help?
Yeah, it's a good question. We go in It's an unusual way to answer this question as well. We go in with a number of preconceptions. When you've done the two, maybe 300 engagements that we've done, you start to know what you're going to find before you find it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the answer you're looking for. That and you know, a lot of that's built out of the box. The right way to address it, and the way we would address it early on in any engagement or through our partners, would be to understand their business, understand their content, talk to some of what we refer to as subject matter experts, and probably look at their policy, their information policy. And once you get a handle on that, and you're only talking a few hours, once you get a handle on that, you can then look at their data, their content, and you can then very quickly make some judgments and point the tool, the application, in the right direction.
And once you have ascertained that and you start the process by which you go through and clean up what they've got, how much of the formatting or the framework process is that itself, and how much of it is then saying, okay, we've got all of the stuff, we know that what we have now is correct and complete, and now we can plot it out in a way that you're going to be able to manage it and use it well?
Yeah, so let me answer that a slightly different way as well, Francis. Okay. For us, it's about, and for our customers, it's about quick wins. Let's not kid ourselves. This is tough stuff. You know, it's taken 20 years to build up this terrible digital landfill. Another buzzword, but you know, it's a great one, digital landfill. And it's not going to take 20 days to sort it out. And so, because it is, you know, it is hard work, what you have to do is look for the quick wins. And the quick wins for an organization are obviously quick cost savings, quick benefits from a regulatory compliance point of view. Now, the quick wins, fortunately, are those which generally are generic in term across different organizations, geographies, etc. And so out of the box, we have a lot of those rules. We have a lot of the process methodology that enables us to find the quick wins. And to put that into context, or into a measured form, we would be surprised if we couldn't find 30 to 50% of redundant information very early on in the engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a quick win.
Mm-hmm.
The second phase is when you actually want to look at the context of the data that's left. And that's where you have to work with the business, because any tool can only be an enabler. You need the business to make decisions against what you're showing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a longer process. But obviously, it's a law of diminishing returns. You can go as far as you want to 99.9% accuracy, or you can say we're very happy at 70, 80% accuracy.
Where is that balance usually found? Or is it entirely dependent on the situation that each organization's in?
It is very much the latter. However, we've seen an incredible maturity in the market just over the last 9-12 months. And so 2 years ago, I'd say our maturity was way ahead of any customer's thinking. Today, some of our kind of larger, maybe smarter in the nicest sense, customers are kind of there with us.
Mm-hmm.
And they're beginning to tell us where they want us to take our roadmap.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's great to see. And that's a maturing market.
If you're going to err, would you err on the side of more or less? Would you err more toward the 75% or more toward the 99.9%? Or, again, does that depend on the field that you're in and the work that you're doing?
It does. Look, the quick wins, you're always going to get north of 30%.
Sure.
And you may get 50, 60%. We found that in some of the U.S. Agencies that we work at. If there is an average across the board, you would expect to find 50 to 60% without going too far. Now, there are some good industry stats around this. There's a group called the COGC Committee, which does regular surveys to industry, including the federal space. And they've determined that 69% of content sitting in organizations is of no value and should be removed. Now, of the remaining 30-odd percent, 1% is on legal hold, e-discovery for some of our listeners. 5% needs to be kept for regulatory requirements, again, dependent on the industry. And the other 25-odd percent is of business value, so the version of truth PowerPoint, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take that as a broad brush, that means 70% of any federal agency's information is probably of no value, but they continue to store it, they continue to back it up, and they continue to build out a stack of technologies to try and access it. Mm-hmm. And so we're premised on the whole point of getting rid of that.
69% of the information that an organization has is of no value, and I'm a little upset by that because I certainly don't generate 69% of what we do here, so I've got to make sure that I'm hitting that.
It's all value here.
31% from now on. You made this sound a little bit like weight loss. You said it's taken 20 years to put it on, and it's not going to come off in 20 days.
Yeah.
How many of your customers get that when you first start to work with them?
I have a terrible expression that I use. It's not so much an expression. It's a management technique I learned a long, long time ago, the competency matrix. And for me, when we are talking to a new customer, maybe at a trade event, an exhibition or something, we will ask them, are you consciously incompetent in the area of unstructured information?
Mm-hmm.
And 5 years ago, you might have got a black eye. Today, you get more and more people saying, actually, I understand what the question is. We're nearly there. We've seen, again, as I mentioned earlier, 9-12 months, an incredible acceleration in maturity. Lots of our customers are now looking for a technology or a capability that can help them deal with this problem.
How much of that has been just the fact, just the self-education or self-awareness process? Is that really where that's coming from? Just a progression through this information awareness evolution kind of?
I think the problem's just got so big, Francis, that they can no longer carry on as they were.
Mm.
And we talked about digital landfill, shoving all this stuff under the carpet. You just can't keep doing that. Eventually, you can't afford to keep buying the storage. You can't find anything. You can't afford to just keep buying a bigger spotlight, a search tool on it. And the workflow systems we put in place, content management systems, are fundamentally flawed because they're reliant on users populating them with good tags. And so eventually gets the point where you have to do something with the disease and not deal with the symptoms. And for us, the disease is this pile of unstructured content. Legacy at one point, but the moment you save that document, it's going forward. And until you deal with that and remove it, everything else is going to suffer as a consequence.
All right. We've talked about the bad and what this looks like when you first get your hands on it. And I'd like to talk about, when we come back, what structured information looks like for your customer and what they can do now that they have it that they couldn't do before. That's where we'll go when we continue. Peter Bauman's my guest. He's the CEO and co-founder of Active Navigation. And you can hear more when we come back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
They say a picture is worth a thousand words. Well, picture your family and home safe and secure with Ackerman Security Systems. Picture yourself controlling your system remotely on your mobile phone anytime, anywhere. Picture yourself getting video clips and texts of happenings at home before your kids get home from school. Picture everything you can do with the money saved by choosing Ackerman Security.
There's good reason Ackerman Security Systems is the Washington area's most trusted security company. It's because at Ackerman, security is all they do, and they do it better than anyone else. For just $18.95 a month, Ackerman monitors your home for burglary, fire, and medical alert. Already have a system? Switch for free and start saving. Call by Wednesday and get up to 3 months of basic monitoring free. Call 888-999-1070, AckermanSecurity.com.
Here's Ken Nesbitt, ACIO Infrastructure Operations, Department of the Treasury, on the Federal Executive Forum on Mobility, sponsored by Dell Software.
So what we have to do in the future, we have to make it so that our employees can work in a place just about anywhere and get done the things that they need to get done. We have to do it securely. We have to do it safely. That's what the future needs to look like.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Give your users the power to work efficiently and securely, no matter where they are or which devices or platforms they're using, with Dell Software Mobility Solutions. Whether you need desktop virtualization, mobile IT administration, identity and access management, or application modernization, you'll find the right Dell software is available through DLT Solutions. Discover how Dell Software Mobility Solutions can help your agency meet its mission and objectives. Visit dlt.com/dellsoftware.
Have you ever wanted to be a paramedic, firefighter, or EMT? Now you can. Join the Bethesda Chevy Chase Rescue Squad. The squad responds to over 10,000 emergency, medical, and fire rescue calls each year, and most members are volunteers. When they aren't saving lives, most work or attend school full-time. No experience is needed. You'll receive top-notch, life-saving training free of charge. Apply online today at bccrs.org or call 301-657-5557.
Kids Protecting Grandparents. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. Vaccination that protects children against pneumonia also seems to give spillover protection to their grandparents. Researcher Marie Griffin of Vanderbilt University saw this in data from 1997 to 2009 in a national database of hospitalizations. The vaccine was meant to prevent blood and ear infections from pneumococcus bacteria, but pneumonia also results from pneumococcus infection. Griffin notes that older people who have weaker immune systems can be infected by children who carry the bacteria but are healthy.
This vaccine not only decreased pneumonia in children, but also decreased pneumonia hospitalizations in older adults.
The study in the New England Journal of Medicine was supported by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Learn more at healthfinder.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
If you're not reading federalnewsradio.com, you're missing out on the most read website in the federal market, featuring federal news and information that affects you every day. Here's what readers are saying about federalnewsradio.com.
I get absolutely the latest news on time.
Federalnewsradio.com gives federal government workers news about what affects them. I don't have to wade through local news to get to what directly affects me at work.
Make it your daily read for the news you need. Federalnewsradio.com.
Now your Federal News Radio cybersecurity update, afternoons at 30 minutes past the hour. The National Institute of Standards and Technology has given critical infrastructure operators something to talk about. NIST has published a discussion draft of its framework for cybersecurity. It includes a long list of proposed standards and guidelines to be used by the private sector. NIST will hold a workshop for critical infrastructure cyber officials next month in Dallas. The framework recommends companies make complete inventories of devices and software systems that could be hacked, and it recommends integrating cybersecurity and human resources to reduce insider threats. Find a link to the draft framework at federalnewsradio.com. You get your cybersecurity update afternoons at 30 minutes past the hour on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Peter Bauman, the CEO and co-founder of Active Navigation, is my guest. And we've talked a lot so far about unstructured information and the process of getting it structured. And so the progression of that is, okay, once it's structured, what can I now do with it that I was not able to do before? What are the efficiencies that I gain financially and operationally and logistically?
Good question. So, again, it depends on the customer, but typically the first thing they would benefit from is with a reduced estate, they'd be able to find stuff. The fact that it's then tagged maybe complies with an existing classification, drawing schema, or taxonomy as it's known in our parlance, with a classification schema means they'll be able to find it. It's more likely to be adhering the local policy, so the customer's policy, the regulatory compliance requirements, and so it puts them in better footing with regards litigation. Obviously, they benefit from storage savings, significant storage savings, which we can talk about later if that's helpful. And it will enable those other tools that the organization has brought in to manage their information to function more performantly. Particularly at the moment, there's a large drive across all markets towards the SharePoint, the Microsoft SharePoint kind of application and collaboration software. But if you fill SharePoint up with a load of rubbish, then you're going to get rubbish out, garbage in, garbage out.
Mm-hmm.
And by structuring the content, cleaning it, putting it in the right way, the end users can find it again later.
The storage savings idea, I imagine, perks a lot of ears up when you give that to federal agencies in particular, given where we are budget-wise right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it doesn't cease to amaze me how slow people are, actually, with this one, Francis. Please, listeners, listen. You'll be paying somewhere between $10,000 and $25,000 a year per terabyte to store 70% of stuff you don't need. If you can just halve that, the compound value on 10 terabytes at $15,000 a year over 3 years would be nearly $500,000. If you do nothing, you'll be paying $1 million. Now, the advent of the cloud and all these other great technologies, they all play in this space. But for on-premise, fast access information, you really don't want to be saving that. It's a no-brainer win. And our happy, smart customers and agencies recognize that.
Yeah, when you put it in that context, it just becomes a math problem.
It is.
70% of your storage removed times however many years you expect to store what you've got. I mean, that's the formula, right?
So look, Francis, it's not unusual for a large agency to have 50, 200 terabytes. Now, if that was a one-to-one ratio to files and docs, you're talking about, 150, 200 million documents. And the faster you can reduce that estate, you have cost avoidance, you don't need to buy more storage. You then control the growth of the storage as a compound, benefit, however you look at this, compound slowdown in growth and compound increase in cost savings. It's just simple maths, or math, as I've learned over here.
That's right. We leave the S off.
I've never worked that out.
We've dropped the S here in the United States. You're working on a project with this with the Army, and I want to talk about that a little bit when we come back. My guest is Peter Bauman. He's CEO and co-founder of Active Navigation, and my guest on Industry Chatter today on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Conference. This is free. You basically decide who you want in the phone call, and you set up the time for the phone call. Like, I want to make a conference call at 2 o'clock tomorrow, and you could put all these people in a group, so you could easily just add the group. And then what happens, at the time of the conference call, Uber Call calls everybody, and it also sends them an email, and they're in the conference.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1500 AM.
Hi, this is Hillary Howard. Join me October 12th and 13th for the Law Enforcement Ride and Run to Remember. This year we have 55 or 30-mile bike rides held at National Harbor Saturday, October 12th, and a 5K in Washington at the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Sunday, October 13th. The Law Enforcement Ride and Run to Remember raises funds and awareness while commemorating the service and sacrifice of law enforcement officers. Go to rideandruntoremember.org to register today.
The Veterans Affairs Department struggles to fix long-standing cyber vulnerabilities. Members of Congress question whether the personal data of 20 million veterans is being properly protected. And at a recent hearing, lawmakers learned VA's networks were breached several times by nation states. Federal News Radio explores VA's cyber issues and what's being done to fix the problems in our ongoing special report, VA Cyber Efforts in the Hot Seat. Find it all at federalnewsradio.com. Search VA Cyber.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive.
Doug Keeler is the National Program Manager for Feds Feed Families.
Most of the goods that are dropped off are USDA certified, and it's even bottles of water. Some of these rural areas, there's no potable water, and there's people that are homeless. They're living in the woods. Bleach, hygiene items. One of our federal departments collected 3 boxes full of those toiletry items from the hotels when they go on travel.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.
Now for your Federal News Radio DoD report, brought to you by BAE Systems, afternoons at 40 minutes past the hour. The Defense Department is expanding services available for job-seeking significant others of enlisted personnel. The Spouse Ambassador Network will provide mentoring sources as well as a toolkit of education and career resources. The network falls under the umbrella of the Pentagon Spouse Education and Career Opportunities Program. You get your DoD report brought to you by BAE Systems afternoons at 40 minutes past the hour on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Peter Bauman of Active Navigation, my guest on Industry Chatter today. And we've talked about unstructured information, structured information, and you're now elbow deep in working with the United States Army as they are moving their information to the cloud. So they're going through this process, I imagine, in the way that you've described it, analysis, cleaning it up, and then organizing it so that then it can be transition to the cloud efficiently as DISA, the Defense Information Systems Agency, moves the Army to the Defense Enterprise Portal Service. Tell me more about the process that you saw there and how it was different or the same as what you've seen with other customers.
Yeah, it's pretty similar, actually. People go through the same set of challenges on this journey. In this case, you've got one of the largest organizations in the world, with north of 3.5-4 million contractors and staff, an inordinate amount of content, but they have specific issues or specific concerns around security, as you would expect. And so in this case, DISA are looking at being the home, the house, if you like, of the cloud environment. It will be secure, different levels of security classification. But all the same challenges arise in that you're trying to move different groups of the Army or different parts of DoD across and onboard them into this cloud, secure cloud environment. Do you want to move all the content across or just the content that matters? And as you move it across, do you want to leave it unstructured or do you want to make it structured? And you have no choice in this type of regulated environment. It has to be structured. It has to comply with the necessary regulatory requirements. And you certainly, let me rephrase that. When you know the true cost of storage, which DISA will know and will be charging back to these different groups and agencies, you have a vested interest in reducing the content before it goes across. And so very similar to a commercial organization, it's just a different target repository.
Mm-hmm. Did that 70% number hold up as you started to work with the Army? Did it look the same as the other organizations? I think there are agencies who continue to think along the lines of we're special and different and we do things in a different way than everybody else does. And it sounds like what you're finding is a lot of these organizations are very similar, and the products that you find when you get there are very similar.
That's absolutely correct, yeah. So I can't give the exact details
of
this particular project, and it's fairly early on in the prototype part of the process as well. We have done work elsewhere within the Army, and I think there's one particularly interesting case for the listeners, and that was at the close of the Iraqi Freedom War. It was the first digital war as such, where nearly all documentation, communiques, etc., were in digitized format. And the lessons learned from the first Iraqi war was that it needs to clean up our act, not least for record keeping for veterans. Now, the government tasked NARA to identify the Iraqi war records. NARA itself then tasked one of the COCOMs to bring that content back, secure it. They're using active navigation to discover, clean, analyze, and structure and help identify those war records that will be filed at NARA. Now, in that case, I can share some of this. Some of this is publicly available information. And we found north of 50% in the first pass of what we call unnecessary redundant information.
Mm-hmm. We've talked a lot about what you find and what you get an organization's legacy information to the state that you bring them to. How do you embed structures so that they don't have to call you 5 years from now and have you come and do this again? How this becomes their standard operating procedure to keep their information, new information as they create it, in this structured format?
Yeah, there's two time phases. There's the sorting out the legacy. But as a result of sorting out the legacy, you understand the data, you understand the policy, and you can tighten policy, and you can tighten rules that can identify the content that applies with that policy. And then you're very well placed to look after data in the go-forward basis. And wherever it resides, so Active Navigation, we're completely agnostic. We don't care. A lot of our customers are moving to Microsoft SharePoint, but there's plenty of other repositories, third parties out there. Wherever it resides, you keep a check on it. So you make sure that it doesn't get dirty again. You make sure that redundancy and duplicates don't build into it. And you ensure that the policies are kept tight. And that's a relatively easy thing to do versus trying to sort the legacy landfill out.
The forward-looking part of that, I think, though, has the potential to be the most difficult, because that doesn't just involve structures and the technical part of it. It involves the employees of the organization, the rank and file people touching the stuff every day, to think about how they're doing their jobs and what they're doing in a different way. It's a cultural issue, it seems to me, as much as it is a technical issue. And you can come in and work with them and bring them up to this ideal level of information structure. And if they choose not to participate or participate well, the organization will find itself back in this situation at some point. Am I off base there?
No, you're not off base. So these are real challenges that all our customers face. But it's a little bit of a yes and no.
Okay.
And so once you've got yourself in good state, you can keep yourself in good state with minimal impact on the organization. And clearly that's everybody's nirvana, including ours. And our roadmap is all about low touch, you know, governance in the future, because no users want to worry about this problem. Let's not kid ourselves. However, in parallel, there has to be a cultural shift in the workforce. And that's where a lot of the consulting practices obviously spend their time. But we have to educate the workforce to the importance and value of data. We've had all the leakages recently, and I think there's a bit of training and education to be done to our workforce. It's not an area we're within the ecosystem. It's not something that we're looking to address ourselves.
Right. But it seems to be an important component of this. And because without the buy-in of the people, we're right back where we started. Peter Bauman's my guest. He's the CEO and co-founder of Active Navigation, and we've looked at kind of the state of the art of this today, and I'm interested in some thoughts maybe about where you see your field going in the next year to 5 years, and we'll do that when we come back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Back in a moment.
BAE Systems, we always focus on keeping troops safe. One challenge military pilots face, it's called a brownout. When helicopter pilots confront dust storms or fog, the risk of collision is much higher. That's why we created a technology that lets pilots see terrain and obstacles through these conditions. Knowing our work helps to save lives inspires us every day. We'll be there on the next front. That's BAE Systems. That's inspired work. Learn more at baesystems.com/nextfront.
If talking and texting interferes with a walk down the street, imagine what might happen if you're driving. Focus on the road, not your conversation. Your brain can't do both safely. No dialing, no talking, no texting to arrive safe.
Hi, I'm Brooke Delaney.
And I'm Congressman John Delaney.
As a teen, I know not to text while driving. My dad and I ask you to focus on the road, not your conversation.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
The Cybersecurity Report is brought to you by University of Maryland University College.
Your web browser, no matter which one you use, it's vulnerable. The U.S. Computer Emergency Readiness Team, U.S. CERT, says it's vital to configure them securely. They say often the operating system is not set up in a secure default configuration, which can quickly lead to a variety of problems caused by anything from spyware being installed without your knowledge to intruders taking control of your computer. I'm J.J. Green.
Secure your future with a bachelor's or master's degree in cybersecurity, available entirely online from University of Maryland University College. Their programs have been specially developed by experts from government and private industry, so you'll get the real-world skills you need for your career. Plus, UMUC is designated as a National Center of Academic Excellence in Information Assurance Education by NSA and DHS. University of Maryland University College. Call 800-888-UMUC or visit umuc.edu/cybersecurity.
We're all different, but if we all stand up as one, no one stands alone.
Won't you stand up, stand up, stand up?
One by one, we can change the world. It's up to you and me. On Monday, October 7th, let's all wear our blue shirts for World Day of Bullying Prevention.
Won't you stand up and use your voice?
Get your blue shirt at stompoutbullying.org.
Government IT professionals, register today for the Executive Leadership Conference. This government-led education and training event hosted by the American Council for Technology and Industry Advisory Council features newly designed interactive workshops. Nationally prominent speakers from within government will share their freshest ideas and techniques for leveraging new technologies and data for mission success. October 27th through 29th in Williamsburg, Virginia. Register today at actgov.org. That's actgov.org. We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. My guest is Peter Bauman, the CEO and co-founder of Active Navigation. And we've talked, as I mentioned, about where we stand today as far as information structure and organization. But when you look forward and you strategize for your company and you figure where this field is headed and so on, what does the landscape look like in the year to 5 year window from now? Not just of what you're going to be able to offer your customers, but what they're going to need as a whole.
So at a micro level, you're going to see tremendous growth. The market's going to see tremendous growth in the need for these capabilities, whether it be active navigation, whether it be other newcomers onto the market. And we welcome them to educate the market. Gartner, again, third plug for Gartner, but Gartner have now labeled our technology as file analysis, and they're now reporting on it, which is great. And they see a 25-fold increase over the next 3 years in the number of organizations that have file analysis technologies, through to tipping point 65% in the early 2020s. And so you're just going to see an explosion in this need. And so that's really at a micro level. From a big picture perspective, organizations really don't want this problem. It was technology that kind of got us in this mess. They want the technology to sort it out. It's hard work. It's onerous. You don't want people having to worry about this. You want them worrying about their jobs. And so there's going to be a drive to automate as much of this governance process as possible. A lot of it will be governed. Some of it can't be governed because who's prepared to delete the document? Are you prepared to let your machine delete the document? Mm-hmm. And so there is a point where it probably can't be automated. And so that's where our own roadmap develops. It's how do we make this simpler? How make it faster? How do you scale? And how do you automate the process as much as you can? But ultimately, I think the bigger picture, and it's associated with big data, associated with cloud, all the new standards and protocols such as Hadoop that are really beginning to wake some of this market up. It's going to come around to the coming together of structured and unstructured. Why do we have two names? It's information. And the only reason we have two names is no one's been able to crack the unstructured problem yet. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we crack it, it just becomes information assets. And that has to be where we get to. And we will eventually get there.
What we see on an ongoing basis in when it comes to information, whatever name we tag to it today, is that we kind of see this morphing and changing and evolution, as you alluded to, and your area of expertise and specialty touches all these other areas. Which of some of those that you just mentioned, or some that you didn't mention, will be the ones that you think in the coming days and years your area of information structure is most likely to touch or move around or turn into or whatever?
I think it's the inline governance. It's the user having low touch to no touch. The user entering a document into their system and not caring about labeling that document because it's labeled behind the scenes. Not caring or not having to care about the policy, the retention policy, the requirements of who has access, sensitivity, you know, permission levels associated with that document, that will become automated. And that really is nirvana, I think, in this space. That's what the market craves. But it's going to take a little bit longer to get there.
You do know that when you get what you think you want, you'll find you want something else, right?
Of course. we'll be trying to unstructure it.
Peter, it's great to have you on the program today. I thank you for coming in and talking to me about this stuff.
Thank you very much, Francis. It's been a pleasure.
Peter Bauman is the CEO and co-founder of Active Navigation, my guest on Industry Chatter on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.